Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome here. Let's take our blue book, number 26. And it's a prayer that God come and join us with power. Let's stand, please.
Good morning once again, and welcome each of you on this brand new day. We want you to know that no matter why you came, no matter if you're troubled or bubbling with exuberance, no matter if you're weary or excited, whether you feel full of hope or feel hopeless, weak, strong, rich, poor, grieving, don't want to sing, alone, lonely, bitter, curious, tired, or any of the other possibilities that you could be today, you are welcome here. We are always welcome to come as we are. I'm going to turn your attention to the little slot in the seat in front or at the back of where the hymnals are. There are several papers in there. They've been there for a long time. I'm going to draw your attention to them just for a moment. The white one is an envelope, so that if you've forgotten your envelope and want to give an offering, you can do that. And the plate is at the back. The green one is, if you're a visitor, there's several things you can tick off there and drop it in the offering plate if you would like any of those things or more information. The other two papers, which we kind of forget about, are yellow, I think they all are, and it says a note of appreciation. And here's where you can fill that out to someone and give it to someone or put it in their mailbox, and a note of appreciation to somebody here in our congregation. And the verse on there is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Your simple note to someone might be something that really is exactly what they need on this day. My hope is that something that is said or sung this morning will be something that you can take with you for this week to give you strength and courage for your journey. Let us worship together. Our call to worship this morning, there's no light and dark print, as you can see, and we are going to all read this together. I invite you to join me. As we gather this day, each of us brings something to worship. We bring the burdens of the week. We bring prayers of hope and prayers of anguish. We bring our voices and our gifts and our questions. We bring our faith, tattered or whole as it may be. We bring all this to each other and to God as we worship together today. Let's pray together. God, as we prepare to worship today, we ask that you guide our thoughts. You have been in our lives and living this past week, even though most of us weren't really aware of it. Most of us have gone about our daily living forgetting to acknowledge all of that. We have forgotten to give thanks, to be grateful. Some of us have looked for and have been fortunate enough to recognize the miracles in life this past week. You've heard our laments and cries for help, and our jokes and laughter. You continue to accept us as we are. Bless this time on this day of our gathering together. In your name, together as one, we pray. Amen.
Well, let's sing some more. Let's take our blue book again, and we'll turn to number 111. Oh, praise the gracious power. And Carol Doran wrote this poem. It's Thomas Traeger, and it's based on Ephesians 2. But it's got seven verses, and you think, well, why so many verses? And, well, we're not going to sing them all. We're going to sing 1, 2, 6, and 7. But I want to draw your attention just briefly to the structure here. Oh, praise the gracious power, that's verse 1. Oh, praise persistent truth, we're going to sing those two. And then, oh, praise inclusive love, oh, praise the word of faith is verse 4. Oh, five is, oh, praise the tide of grace. And we're going to sing 6 and 7. 6 and 7 starts summarizing all the stuff we've been singing about, so we're not going to do all that, but it's very interesting. He starts in verse 6. Oh, praise the power, the truth, the love, the word, the tide. And you can go down all those verses that we, including the ones we don't sing, and they're all starting to be summarized. And then in verse 7, oh, praise the living Christ. It's a very culminating piece. So let's stand and we'll sing 111. We're singing stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7.
Oh,
a great song about unity in Christ and the cross and, you know, strangers far and near. And if we're not doing that, then we're reminded that we should be thinking of that, which is great. That's partly what happens when we sing. 48 is the next one. All creatures of our God and King. It's a big gathering. Come on, guys. We're going to sing and praise. Alleluia. So that's what's happening here. Stanzas 1, 4, and 7. And I might join with a guitar here. Okay.
Good morning and welcome here to all of you present and virtual, those who are here each and every Sunday, as well as those who have come back from afar or who are visiting. Everyone is very welcome, as Joy already mentioned. Today's order of service is a little bit different. As you are probably aware, we are planning to have our communion service this morning. So if when you came in you forgot to pick up a small communion cup, they were at the back, feel free to either put your hand up and someone will jump up and get you one. They're prepackaged, so you don't need to worry about touching too many surfaces. So this is your time. You have a little bit of space. And I will begin with the scripture that I am going to preach from, but only the first part of it, because it really speaks to our communion celebration very perfectly, in fact. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, my friends, this is a wonderful way to address one another. This is how Paul addresses those he's speaking to. My friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, this sanctuary is not only this gathering location. Since we have confidence to enter the place where God is, that's sanctuary, the place where God is. We know who we are. Our conscience tells us and reminds us, maybe too often, all of our shortcomings, the things we've neglected to do, the things we've done that we regret. God invites us into the sanctuary. And when you think sanctuary, you also think safety. This is where God embraces each and every one of us, welcoming us as we are. And we have confidence to enter that sanctuary, that place of peace and welcome. And that's why we've gathered here. Since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, this is not old and stuffy, dull and boring. This is new and living. This is what has drawn us to God. In this day and age, 2021, which is different than 2020, it's different than the year 2000, different than the year 1950. Every time we enter, this is the new and living way. Life continues. And we enter this new sanctuary on this new day, the living way, which he opened for us. Jesus opened this way for us through the curtain. Beautiful reference to the Old Testament temple, where the Holy of Holies was set apart. No one could enter there, and the curtain blocked it off. But when Christ was crucified, that curtain was torn top to bottom. Amazing. Nothing anyone on earth did. No one came along from the bottom and ripped it open. From top to bottom, it was torn open. The way was opened. And that's the reference here. The tearing of that curtain was as the tearing of the flesh of Jesus Christ, a real human being, human and divine. He opened the way for us by the tearing of his own flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, this priest who is over all of us, not only our congregation, over our denomination, all of the institutions, all religious and government, who is over all. But this priest, Jesus, who lives, is over all of his church. What a relief! What a wonderful, amazing relief. This new and living way is opened to all of us through his blood and his torn flesh. And he continues to preside over all of us. We can breathe out. We can rest assured that things are in his control, in his hands. So that's where we find ourselves today. That's why we have come here to mark this celebration, to mark this event, to remember what happened, and that we do not just cavalierly come to God any old time. It's on this basis that we can come to God freely, boldly, as we are, because he shed his blood and his flesh was torn to sacrifice on our behalf. And he is the priest over us. This is our celebration today. Yet knowing this, we know that we fall short. And I would like to open with a prayer of confession on our behalf. Let's pray together. Most gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are gathered here to keep your feast, to remember the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are not as we ought to be. We suffer sin. We transgress your divine majesty in thought, word, and deed. We know that you have good reasons not to feed us with your Son's body and blood. We cry out, forgive us. Draw our hearts to you that we may seek that heavenly bread which feeds our souls in eternal life. Amen. Let me read the words of institution for this remembrance feast, written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, which is what this bread is symbolizing. He broke the bread. And said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As Jesus prayed thanksgiving for the bread and the cup, let us also give thanks. The bread that we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? We, though many, are one body, since we are all participants in one bread. Eternal, friendly God, your Son gave his life for us and left us this supper. Bless this bread for us this day through your power, that it may provide for us a true sacrament, that it may be a true sign of your Son's body as we partake in this bread. We thank you also for this cup. Joining together as the grapes are joined in one drink, joining us together as one body, we give thanks for the communion of the blood of Christ. We ask for you to bless it, that we might taste your salvation and drink the new wine in the Father's kingdom. Amen. Please take your small cup and only pull back the very top filament, which will release the wafer. Take and eat the body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, pull back the second filament to open the cup. Take and drink the blood of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgives your iniquity, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and mercy, and satisfies you with good as long as you live. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we worship you. We honor you as God, and we look to you for help, for support, and for meaning in this existence. You have heard the words spoken, and we pray sincerely from the depths of our hearts for consolation, for comfort and support in a time of unbearable grief. We pray for others who are also going through this grieving process day after day, and we pray for your compassion, your love, and your mercy to surround them. We pray for all those who suffer, those who are struggling against disease and illness, those who are struggling with injustice at home and abroad. And we pray that you would strengthen your church, this church, as well as all churches in Swift Current, to support and carry those in need. Forgive us for the injustices we have perpetrated. Help us to turn to you, the new and living way. Follow your footsteps and bring good news to those around us. Thank you for the way that you have allowed us to bring our offerings, monetary and in so many other ways. And we ask for your blessing on the simple things that we bring and on our very selves, because we come humbly to you just as we are. And we repeat the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's take our blue book to the song Sheaves of Summer. It's number 460, and it's a celebration in a way, connecting with what Lois just said. If you look at 460, stanza 2, at the end of the second line, this will be the fourth line because the first two are Spanish, and then the second English one. Like a millstone, life grinds us down with sorrow and pain. But God makes us new people bound by love. It doesn't take the sorrow and pain away necessarily, but we are bound together. It's a very old story, apparently. In Latin it was called the Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. And it's a simile. We are like the grapes. We are like the sheaves. So what does your grape look like if you're a grape? what does your sheaf look like when you're a sheaf of grain? And we're all ground together, and we become the bread and wine of God's love. So we're going to sing all four verses, actually. And you're welcome to sit or stand. I don't know, standing is easier for singing, but if you like to just sit and do that this time, that's fine too. And if Elaine, you want to do some percussion? I had to think of Esther Wiens' little boy the one time while Elaine comes up here. And he volunteered to do the percussion that one time. It was so much fun to see him do that. So stand if you want, sit if you want, raise your hand if you want. Sheaves of summer turned golden by the sun, grapes in bunches cut down when ripe and red.
Now we have a few more moments to look at the rest of this passage, still in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19 began with, therefore, my friends, since this has happened, then we're waiting for the rest to occur. And that is exactly what happens here, and that's what I'm going to focus on. At the end of verse 21, since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus who is watching over all. Therefore, now, here we go, verse 22. Let us, here's our task, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another. I think we already do that very well. But he says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I put a little title on this section of the scripture saying it's perfectly logical. Because when I read this whole passage, in my mind, I was hearing the Latin term post hoc ergo propter hoc. And I'm sure that's exactly what was going through your minds as I read this. I happened to take a logic course in one of the years of far too much education. And in that course, I learned this term, and it sort of stuck with me. Sometimes you can't help the things that stick in there, although you'd like them out. But this was logic, and I thought, aha! The term means after the fact, therefore, because of that. Not exactly. That's not perfect Latin translation. But it's to assume that what happens afterwards was because of what happened before it. And apparently this is a fallacy. This is not a truth. So post hoc ergo propter hoc is a fallacy of logic, but we use it a lot of the time. If something happened after something else, and we think, oh, it caused that. Right home example, after we had the announcement in the bulletin. This was years ago, an announcement that there was going to be some dance lessons in the basement of the church during the week. And then someone stopped coming to church. And others says, oh, it was because of that announcement. Therefore, they no longer wanted to come to this church. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Another simpler comparison, the rooster crows just before sunrise, and then the sun rises. Therefore, the rooster causes the sun to rise. Ridiculous. But we use this a lot of the time to figure out why something happened. If something else happened just before it, oh, you know, in sports season, I was wearing my lucky socks when we won the hockey game. Therefore, the lucky socks helped us to win. Therefore, I will always wear the lucky socks so that we will always keep winning the game. We know this, we see this, we hear this, and we chuckle. However, I want to turn that on its head and say right here, this is perfectly logical. And I want for us to recognize that when we come together as a body, milled together just like this loaf of bread is, and we've become one loaf, or like this cup of wine or grape juice, all those grapes, the singularity of them has disappeared and they've become one in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. And we have partaken in that meal, thanks be to God, for that salvation that draws us close to God. That's not the end, it's the beginning. Like a marriage ceremony, when they say, I do, and the presider says, I pronounce them husband and wife. That's not the end, it's the beginning. This too is the beginning. And here Paul says, the rest is based on the beginning. So let's not think we're doing a lot of good deeds or provoking one another to love and encouraging each other, just like Joy said, those yellow slips of paper. Oh, I'm going to encourage someone. It's not because you are such a wonderful person, but it is because of the basis, the foundation that we have just experienced. Because this has happened and we participated, therefore we are going to do X, Y, and Z. Three C's, easy to remember, even if this goes on and on and on for a long time. Three C's, come clean, come confident, and come considering. Those three things, that's what Paul says here. I'll read it. Verse 22, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. We can do those three C's. In fact, we should do those. We should be inspired to do those. Yes, I'm going to go out and do something. My life is going to be different because I've been invited into this new and living way. I'm really excited about this new and living way. In Hebrews, ages and ages ago, Paul said, this is a new and living way opened up for you. And we said, yes, thank you very much. We have received that body. We have received that hope. Therefore, now we can all, number one, come clean. Sometimes we think, oh, come clean means admit, confess, come clean. We already know. And it's true. God knows. Come to God, come to the sanctuary, come to the gathering, come clean. Not by your own self, not defending yourself. Oh, I did it because of this or that, or I couldn't help myself, or I had bad friends, or any of those excuses. Just come clean. Your bodies sprinkled with the clean water, your consciences, even worse, right? Your conscience, because your conscience knows everything. Cleansed, however. When we come, we can come, all of that is clean. And when your conscience keeps bothering you and you've already confessed it, you just go back and say, remember, he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. He invited me here. He welcomed me here. He opened the way for me. I do belong here. I do, and I come clean. So when you come clean, you also come confidently. You know, when you're hiding something, very hard to be confident. But when it's all clean, cleansed, washed away, then you can come with confidence. And that's what he reminds us. Let's come with confidence. Confident in the hope that is within us. Hope, as I mentioned last week, is the future thing. Hope is driving us forward. Don't be dragged back. In full assurance, with a sincere heart. This is all one package, not half-hearted. full assurance, with a sincere heart. Okay, I am all in. I'm going forward with you. Now, don't be afraid to do this, because it doesn't mean we're all going to become clones, because this is a new and living way. New and living way, that's what we are invited into. With confidence, sprinkled clean, knowing what that future hope is, full assurance. And then when we do that, okay, what does that look like? What do I do? It's pretty simple here. Consider how to bring others, the word provoke is really troubling, provoke one another to love and good deeds. Help each other to love more, to good deeds. Everybody knows what a good deed is. Modern day good deeds. You don't have to do just the old fashioned good deeds. Remember when, I can't remember what they would call it, but you know, the person in the drive through in front of you would pay for the coffee of the person behind. Isn't that nice? That's a nice little good deed. Very, very simple. Just a way to show, I want to do this for you. So keep doing that. Provoke each other to find ways to show more love. Our conversations tend to be provoking in the other direction. Let's forget that, turn away from that, and say, no, I want to provoke you to love and good deeds. Think creatively. Think of something new for a change, a new good deed. What would that look like today? And encouraging one another. So simple, but we don't know what will happen if we start encouraging one another. And all of this, this newness, this life, this love, the possibilities are endless, and it comes out of this supper that we have celebrated. There is an impact. There is an effect, and it's perfectly logical. Let's go out and do it. Amen.
Thank you, Lois. And we're going to sing a different song than is printed. And we're going to take the blue book. It's number 1. You know, at the end of class sometimes, like, I don't know if Rowan ever has this in school, the teacher says, so this is what we did this period. Before you go to your next class, let's just review what we did. And that's in a way what this is about. What is this place where we are meeting? Only a house, the earth its floor, walls, a roof, sheltering people, windows for light and open door. Yet it becomes a body that lives when we are gathered here and know our God is here. And all those other stuff, there's so much imagery. Verse 2, words from afar, time far away that are falling, sparks that are sown in us like seed. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Sent forth by God's blessing, 478, and we see midway through the first stanza, the supper is ended, O now be extended the fruits of the service in all who believe. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.